You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.
It's time to lean back and buckle in. This ain't your grandma's early learning podcast. Then again, your grandma probably didn't know what a podcast was. Hey, moms and dads, puppies and kittens, caregivers and advocates, it's time for Shaking Bones. Here's Dan and Amy.
Hi there. Welcome to the Shaking Bones podcast. I'm Dan Hodgins.
And I'm Amy Ahola.
In this episode, we're talking about some fun things, what kinds of props, activities we might have in our programs that aren't necessarily purchased. Amy and I are hanging out together to tackle the untouchables. Sometimes you might challenge your beliefs, maybe even stretch your comfort zone, but most importantly, we want to make you think. We don't expect that you have to agree or disagree, but what we do hope is that we cause some shaking bones. You know, Amy, you and I go nuts about this subject because we just love to think about how things can be used in a variety of ways in programs, because I'm always concerned that people go out and purchase things that might cost quite a bit of money, and then they bring them back to the program and they last about a week, either because they have broken to pieces or because the children's interests have changed. Or it hasn't developed along with their interests. So I think part of it is really looking at what might be provided in a program that would be fun and exciting and not cost a great deal, right? Is that the kind of things that you try to use in your program, a little more natural process?
Yeah, you know, and I, even before my program, I was very crafty and I would make things out of trash, things that people would throw away for the most part. And so, you know, my wish lists a lot of times for our program are all kinds of things that people would normally recycle or throw away. And everyone's always amazed, like, you know, amazed at the things that I'm asking for.
Yeah, and I'm always indicating, you know, that I hardly make it to school sometimes on garbage collection day because people throw out good stuff, you know, and then so I want to take it and either use it with me or take it to some program and say, you're going to want to use this. I know you're going to want to use it. So I'm often lugging things from people's trash that they throw out. What are some things that you are really fond of that might be used in programs?
You know, one of our favorite things for outside right now are tires. The children absolutely love having the tires, and our house is built into the hill, so it's a pretty steep hill for children to have to walk down to get into the backyard. And they absolutely love it when people drop off more tires for us because they want to be the one to send it flying down and rolling down the hill. And there have been times where they have pushed the tire all the way up the hill just so that they could let it go flying back down again.
Yeah, I used to have a child that would take a tire up the slide, push it all the way up to the slide, you know, and you wanted to say, you know, this is a lot of work. But I wasn't about to say that to them, just so they could roll it down the slide capote. I agree with you. Tires are one of those things that could be, you can sit in a tire, you can roll it, you can paint with it. You could do a lot of things with tires that that people often forget as a real good tool that could be used outdoors and in some cases indoors in that component.
Yep. What else? You know, if we had more space inside, I'd have tires inside too. But, you know, depending on the space you have to work with inside, you kind of choose what you're willing to fill it with.
Right. And, you know, bringing in a tire creates movement, obviously. So you'd have to have the space to allow some of that movement that's going to happen with tires. I'm a really biggie in water everywhere. I think that water is free usually. It has to be clean, I know that. You have to watch a toddler because they want to drink it. But I think it's really important that we look at how we can use water, how it flows, using pumps to create, using different kinds of tubings. I'm always looking.
Dan, are you still
But I
there?
think that, yeah.
I
On.
didn't hear you for a little bit.
Are we okay now?
Yep.
All right. Yeah, I was talking about the use of water and making sure that it's something that can be used both indoors and out, and using different kinds of tubings. How do you use water in your program, Amy? Do you quickly?
Oh, we have we have sand and water tables both inside and out. We have, like you said, lots of different tubings. We've got rain gutters. We have some manufactured set that's kind of like rain gutters, but it also has these little stoppers that slide into it. And to be honest with you, I don't know exactly who manufactured it or where it came from because I get a lot of stuff secondhand. But it's wonderful because it's kind we live really close, well, not really close, but a couple hours away from the Sioux Locks, and a lot of the children have gone there. And so it kind of works like the locks do because there's different levels, and you can stop the water and you can send the water flowing again. There are a lot of ways there.
You
We
talked
also
about
have
the gutter. Talking about vinyl, plastic, does it matter?
I have plastic. I don't know that it necessarily does matter, but that's what we have.
And the children just kind of fit them into each other and see how the trail of water or whatever it is that's flowing moved from one area to another, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. What are some other things you use in terms of crafty or trash that you use in different ways?
We really like to have rope. It's one of the children's favorite things. They use it to tie each other up. They use it for tug of war. They use it to, when they're building forts, a lot of times they'll tie rope across the top before they put the tarp on it, to help give it a little bit more structure. But the uses are pretty endless in terms of what they come up with rope.
Yeah, I've often told people if you go to a place where they work on boats or a marine, a place where there's a marina, that there's typically all kinds of colored rope. There's different size ropes. I like the big heavy ropes that they can use for tug of war, things of that sort. I also like to use fish nets because fish nets can be used in a variety of ways. There's always a monster that you have to catch, and throwing a fish net over that monster still allows freedom, but you feel like you've captured them, and sometimes it's over the teacher or the provider, but at least you're able to breathe through the fish net in terms of that component. So ropes and fish nets are really a wonderful, inexpensive opportunity for children to use in terms of that component. I'm a really big one also on allowing children to dig, and I like to use real shovels. And again, there are hardware stores that have shovels that just fit a child perfectly. And I'm not at all uncomfortable using a shovel that might have a slight point on it that they can dig into. I'm always saying children need the opportunity to dig to China. And you can't really do it with a plastic shovel. So are you using real shovels, or what do you use for digging, Amy, in your program?
We have some of each. We have some of the buckets and things that come with shovels, and we have some of the plastic shovels, and then we have some of the real metal pointed shovels as well. It's not, we like to give the children a variety. And the other thing is we have a lot of kitchen utensils that we put outside. We set up like a mud pie kitchen, and the children like to, sometimes they really like to dig with a spatula or a spoon or, something a little bit different on occasion as well.
I remember digging with a spoon when I was young. I think the children really enjoy the digging with the spoon and also mixing up some kind of mud pie or cake that they expect that somebody, of course, is going to eat. But yeah, I think having some of the kitchen utensils, which you can get easily at thrift stores, Salvation Army, Goodwill, people throw them out. Again, yard sales for 10 cents and that are really long lasting and have a variety of uses, just like the pots and pans, the real ones that can be, and they can have a dent in it. But children don't care about the dent. Matter of fact, they don't even care if it has a hole in it. Some kinds is a real good practice for opportunity props for children to use outdoors in the sand or the mud. Talk a little bit about your mud kitchen. What does it look like?
Well, when we initially started with it, I was inspired by another place, and I'm like, why haven't I thought of that before? The children are always trying to do this kind of thing, always trying to do this kind of thing. I did that when I was young, like you mentioned, you dug with a spoon as well. And
Right.
so initially, it was I just put a little wooden shelf out. And we had our picnic table, and I just went around and I gathered things we weren't using in the kitchen. And then I asked the parents for things, and I just put it out there. This was my wish list. And you ask for things, and people just start dumping stuff at your house after after a while. And it didn't take long for us to get all kinds of different things. So now we have some of those wire shelves that are kind of plastic coated. I don't know
Okay.
exactly who makes them, but I've got one that's supposed to be a shoe rack, and I've got one that's a spice rack and a couple other things to help organize all of the different pieces out there. But we've got muffin tins and pots and pans and colanders and any kind of hand utensil that you can imagine. We've got rolling pins out there. We've got the hand whisks. We've got, I don't know, trying to think off the top of my head. But after a period of time, we replaced the plastic picnic table with one of the giant electrical wooden spools for our table. And I found a nice wooden spice rack on the, I think at a yard sale for free. So I painted it up with some outdoor paint and put that out there. And we use old containers from spices and Parmesan cheese. I put those out there so that they can fill them with different things to shake as well. But yeah, and it's kind of set up as a kitchen, and there's an area for them to put things, but generally stuff doesn't stay in one place. They move it around, and sometimes they're baking it and it's a kitchen, and sometimes they're making experiments and potions. It just depends on the day what they're looking to do there.
I think, that leads into the other thing that I think often people misunderstand is they see art as a brush, an art brush, and maybe the easel or some paint. And I think the art area is one of the areas that you can really use a variety of props that aren't necessarily meant to originally be designed to use for art, but even some of your kitchen utensils that you talked about, your whisk and your spatulas and your bottle brushes and things of that sort, can be used for art in a variety of ways, don't you think so?
Yeah. And the children come up with, you start adding a few things and the children's creativity just goes off in so many different ways. And then they're like, well, what if we try this or what if we try that? And then they start bringing odd things from home too.
Yeah, I like to do. I like it when children start doing that. When they start thinking, oh, I'm going to bring this, and then their parent allows them to bring it, and it's important for us to say, I wonder what kind of print that's going to make, that kind of thing, and or like attaching, having some rolling pins out, in the clay area, it leaves a much different experience for children. Than cookie cutters, for example. So looking at some of those props that you might not necessarily view as an art instrument really is a really excellent way for children to create and expand their knowledge and using surreal natural experiences in terms of that process. Somebody showed me once how to use on the large mops that we use for flooring to be used as an art instrument, and allowing children to have large sheets of paper and creating big movement through that is a really exciting possibility. Or large fly swatters are a really good opportunity, not only for art, but for creating lots of bubble making. Can occur by dipping a fly swatter in some Dawn soap or some dish soap of any sort will create lots of bubbles, all that occur at one time. And bubbles certainly is a fun activity for all ages, don't you think so?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people will use bubbles outside, but bubbles inside are wonderful as well. And they're really cool in the winter. You know, where I live, it gets pretty cold and we get a lot of snow in the winter time. So if it's cold enough, sometimes bubbles will freeze, and that's pretty awesome when that happens too.
Yeah. And again, having that opportunity, it's not a timeless experience, that it really can occur at any season. You know that I'm a big fan of plungers. Everywhere I go, I take a plunger because you never know when you can use one. But the other thing too is the fact that plungers can be used for plunging walls, plunging tables. It could be used for putting on your stomach and walking around with it. Some people use it for painting. Children like to make large prints. When you have a large sheet of paper on the floor, you can take the plunger and plunge. But I've had lots of people report to me that plunging is a really popular experience once they have them. Have you? I know that you probably have used the plungers in a variety of ways in your program.
Yeah, we do use the plungers, and at one point my son was trying to figure out how to make a plunger crossbow, and he got one that was working pretty good for a while, but that was one of the things in addition to the many things that you mentioned that we were working with the plungers for a
Oh,
while.
I love that. A crossbow plunger. I mean, I can just imagine how that could be used. Yeah. Is there any other popular props that you use in art?
Oh, wow. What don't we use in art? In art? You know, the children love, trying to think. Lately, they haven't really been all that interested in indoor art. We've been doing a lot of painting outside recently. And you know, I make a lot of my own paintbrushes for the children. I know you were talking about the giant mops, and I've taken PVC pipe and I'll cut it at different lengths so it's big for the children, but maybe not as big as a giant mop would be. And I've used mop head on the end of those. And I've also put cut sponges into lengths and put those on the end of PVC pipe to make some big brushes, but aren't super big for the children as well. And you know, we like to paint with simple machines. So like a pendulum painting is pretty popular with the children. Catapult painting. And we have some water balloon launchers that require three children in order to operate, that the children like to dip various things into the paint and then send them flying through the air to splat somewhere.
Oh my gosh, that is wonderful. Yeah, that would be a lot of fun to do. And you know what? What I like about that is what age would not want to do that? I mean, it's just as important for the older child who would try to figure out the best technique to get that the farthest, whereas the young child just wants to see the splat. So it really wouldn't matter what age, but what I love about what you're suggesting is they're ageless. A lot of the experiences.
And Dan, I just thought of one that was your favorite when you came to see me present. The other thing that we use a lot for painting with that the children absolutely love is a power drill.
Oh, yes, talk about that.
Basically, instead of using a drill bit, you screw in a paintbrush to the end of the drill, and then you just dip the brush in paint and let them go. And it's just a really powerful activity for the children, because of course the drill is heavy, so they need to man you know to be able to manage to hold that. And then the power that they feel you know, pulling that trigger on that power drill is pretty intense.
Right, and it's interesting because most children are not interested in the design they made or the pattern they made, but just the use of that drill and the pressure against it and what it causes and the amount of force I need to use versus the lack of force that I need to do. Again, really involved in that process is, I remember enjoying doing it myself when I came to your workshop. Let's talk about blocks. What kinds of things or types of blocks do you include as part of the block experience? Because it's not just blocks, correct?
Correct. Oh my gosh. You know, a lot of people separate into like a block center. Our whole space is a block center because there are just so many different types of blocks or other things to build with that we have. But one of the favorites of the children right now are cedar shingles.
Ah.
And they're just, you know, flat cedar shingles that can be used. They make roads with them. They kind of use them like cards sometimes, like, you know, like you'd build a playing card tower. Sometimes they use them in that way. They use them as money. You know, they use them for a lot of different things, but that's been a real popular thing lately. And then of course, you know, we have some traditional blocks, but the children's favorite and my favorite by far are the hollow blocks, and not the mini ones, the giant hollow blocks. That take a lot of children to move.
Yeah, and toddlers might only carry one, but they just carry it around from one spot to another. They're not necessarily building, and as they develop and grow, then you notice that they're starting to stack them and move them in different directions. But the hollow blocks are so much fun, and they create a real strength in the body, lifting them up, moving them around, carrying them around. To me, it's a real valuable opportunity. Do you use any kind of boards that they might be able to use in terms of planks to go across blocks, things of that sort, to create, for those that are into that, creating some kind of fort component?
Yes, we have just random hunks of wood. We also have some really long, large sections of hardboard available for the children to play with, and like molding. We have long lengths of PVC pipe, just, you know, lots of random things from the hardware store versus, you know, a toy store.
Right. I usually include lots of tape and sheets or blankets because they like to throw over a blanket or sheet over a structure that they made and get inside it as perhaps their cave or whatever. But sometimes they ask for tape to make it stick. And lots of people only view tape necessarily as the art space, but it also can be used in a variety of spaces. And children do love the use of tape in a variety of ways. I think it's actually really crucial, more crucial than paper sometimes, that children don't use or do use in some cases. Do you find that they like masking tape too?
Oh yes, masking tape. And a couple years ago, I hit the jackpot. I'm a super clearance shopper. And after Christmas, they had glittery green and glittery red scotch tape that was a little bit thicker. And they had cases of it left over for 10 cents a roll. I bought every box, and the looks I had from people, what are you doing buying all of that tape? And we still have some of it because, like I said, there were cases of it still left. But at 10 cents a piece, I wasn't passing that up.
Right. What about capes? Do you make capes? Do children just make their own? Do you have capes in your program?
We have some capes that are ready made, but we have a lot of just random sheets of fabric that children can make capes out of as well.
Yeah, and sometimes the kids will use masking tape to hold it together on the shoulders, and obviously sometimes it's more than they really need, but it doesn't matter because the process there is more important than the other. You know, we're getting real close to the end, and what I want to hear is, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, if you were to say to somebody, If you're just starting a program, and here are a few essential things other than basic tables and things of that sort. If there are a few essential things that you might want to have in a program that doesn't cost a lot, that would be more natural, that you might get out of the trash, other than tires, are there some other key things that you would hope that people would pursue?
Well, other than the tires, I think for an indoor environment, a mattress is really important.
Okay.
Some
And
type of,
is it for children to jump on to or off of?
yep, for them to jump on and off of. It provides a snuggly place if they want, or a place to wrestle. Most programs don't allow trampolines, but what child won't jump on a bed? So, yeah, so that's there. And something to jump from. And again, that could be just a real basic platform you build, or a bench, or something to give children a little bit of height. A swing. Again, that could be something you make, or something that one might be one that you buy. And big things I have listed, because when you have little things, maybe one child will play, but when something is big, inherently they're going to be using big muscles to try to move it, and generally have to work on their social skills to ask for help. So, like really big buckets, or feed troughs, or barrels. Those are all things that I've found on the side of the road at various times. So.
I'm thinking that I like people to consider bringing in large motors that children can use screwdrivers with or pliers with. It doesn't matter how old it is, or appliances that the electric cord's been removed, that they love doing the fix it kind of, let me try fix this, is they're often stating. But those kinds of things are readily available because people are constantly throwing those out. And it doesn't matter what they look like as long as children have appropriate props. That's why I like to use real tools with children, using hammers and pliers and screwdrivers, and so that they can able to take things apart. And in most cases, they can use a variety of center approaches with those. It doesn't have to belong in one place. It could become part of a block area if they had one, or it could actually become part of the house area. It could be a variety of areas. Could be in the yard, depending on how many loose parts they have. But I think it's really important that people start thinking about how they might use more natural things that people throw out, rather than the already slick prepared experiences that people buy and spend some money with. I really want to thank you for letting us shake some bones. Amy and I talked about looking at props in a different way, that maybe rather than purchasing something, you might want to visit somebody's trash. Oh, we forgot steering wheels, Amy. I love steering wheels for children to do NASCAR driving. We could go on and on with this. If you have questions or suggestions, or want to continue the discussion, you can email me at DKJ5075 or Amy at.
You can reach me via email, AMYAHOLA at hotmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook at Child Central Station.
Thanks so much for listening.
Bye-bye.
This has been Shaking Bones. Dan and Amy will be back next week for more Bone Rattling. Stay tuned.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. And if you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.